to share with you for a few minutes what I believe God wants me to share this morning concerning, I guess, to some degree, what you might say about yourself. And when you are thinking about doing anything for God or anything in life in general, you want to think about who you are. If you're called to go on a mission field, you better decide or have some kind of a concept of who you are in Christ and before you go. It's really important to have a sense of direction, a sense of who you are, a sense of who is sending you. Now, that's really crucial, isn't it? All kinds of people say lots of things about themselves. People who have made a mark, let's say, in their lives. They have used their lives for certain things. And people say all kinds of things to themselves. Really, they speak to themselves about who they are and what they should do. And we're in a few minutes, we're going to talk about what Jesus said about himself. But I was looking up at a few people who have made a mark on the world to some degree and what they said about themselves. And here's Alexander Chong, the founder of Lulu. She used to say something about herself every day. And she said, "I will never give up." That was important for her to say, "I will never give up." In other words, if you feel, especially as Christians, you feel that God has anointed you to do something, you have to have that attitude. I will never give up. But you know, there's one way to get an attitude if you don't have it, is to speak it out. And she continued to say, "I will never give up." You know, people who are determined and continue to say, "I will never give up," they usually accomplish what they set out to do. They say they'll never give up. And here's another one. She's the chief executive officer of and co-founder of Urban Decay Cosmetics. I don't really know what that is, but I love what she said about herself. I thought it was funny. You better get out to the gym where things will get really ugly. I thought that was an interesting statement for somebody to say to themselves or speaking to themselves about what they want to accomplish in their lives. And here is Muhammad Ali. Most you will know him. Some consider the greatest boxer in the world. He said, "I am the greatest." He said, "I said that before I ever knew I was." Now that is a real good statement, and every Christian should be able to look at that and begin to believe something very powerful about yourself. And I believe that's part of what drove him to greatness, was because he began to say it. Notice he said it before I knew I was. And he's talking about the boxing area, obviously. He began to say it before he ever knew that he was the greatest. I like some of the things that Ali said. He made little rhymes up in order to encourage him when he got into the ring. And one of the things that he used to tell himself, and of course he would say it to the media and so forth, he says, "Ali's got a left, Ali's got a right. When he knocks you down, you'll sleep for the night. And when you lie on the floor and the ref counts to 10, hope and pray that you'll never meet me again." Another one was when he was about to fight George Foreman. He said, "I've seen George Foreman shadow box and the shadow won." I like this. He said, "My only fault is that I don't realize how great I really am." Now, I believe that most Christians could end up their lives. And if they really knew how great you really are, how great God has really made you, you would say, "My biggest fault was not realizing how great I really am." Why? Because of what Christ has done in you. Because of what God, how God has made you. He said, "My only fault is that I don't realize how great I really am." I want you to think about that for a minute, because the world and everything else around you will try to put you down and bring you into a place where you think you are an arrogant person if you realize you're great. If you realize you're somebody important, most of the world will tell you that you are arrogant and you shouldn't put yourself up that way. But yet, God seen a greatness in you that was so valuable and so great, he died for you. And that's pretty big. That's pretty huge. People have said some marvelous things about themselves. People who were big in whatever they were involved in, whatever industry they're involved in, they talked about themselves. They talked to themselves. How about you? Do you talk to yourself? You're looking at somebody that does. I've talked to myself over the years. I have about a two-page statement of faith that I make and speaking about myself to God and believing these words that are just going in me. And sometimes when I speak them out, some words, if God thinks I particularly need encouragement in a particular area, they'll just stick out to me and I'll just meditate on them. One of the things that I say is I have the nature of God residing on the inside of me. The nature of God lives on the inside of me. The nature of God affects every part of my being. And I speak to myself that way many times because I know if I'm ever going to fulfill God's purpose and plan, I'm going to have to speak in line with God's plan, agree with Him. Well, Jesus made a declaration about Himself. He declared many things about Himself. I'm going to read a few of them. In Luke chapter 22, verse 7, it says, when He was being questioned by the Sanhedrin, "Are you the Son of God?" He said to them, "You rightly say that I am." John 6:48, He said, "I am the bread of life." John 7:29, He said, "But I know Him, for I am from Him, and He sent me." Talking about God the Father. He said, "I know Him, for I am from Him, because He sent me." That's one thing that you want to know when you go on a mission field. You want to know that you have been sent. I heard a preacher preach one time about going on the mission field. He said, "Were you sent or did you just went?" There's a big difference. When you go on the mission field, you want to know that you're sent. Because if you know that you're sent, then you know that the one who sent you is behind you, is backing you up, he's encouraging you and strengthening you and so forth. And Jesus knew that he was sent. And he declared that the Father sent him into the world. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again and saying, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." Do you ever get into a situation where you were involved with a group of people and you were challenged to do something and you knew really how to do it? You were good at it. You were, might have been even your profession. You knew exactly how to do it. Did you let everybody stumble around and try to do it? Or did you step up and say, "I can do this. I know how to do this," and take your place? Now, not too long ago, we were at a Bethel church in California, Debbie and I, and there was a group session thing going on, and I knew that I wasn't good at what we were doing. I forget what it was, so I just stood back and to some degree and let other people do it. But when you are set into a position that you know you're good at, are you quick to say, "Hey, I can do that. I'm qualified to do that. I am probably the greatest at this amongst us"? Well, if you are, you should step up and say it. Isn't that arrogant, Pastor Bill? No, you just know who you are. And you need to know who you are. Every one of us need to know who you are. And it is not humble to say, "Oh, I'm just a nobody and I really can't, you know, I'm just kind of struggling along and just trying to do the best I can." No, if you're good at something, then you better speak to yourself. Convince yourself that you are. And once you are convinced, you won't really have to convince everybody else. They'll just know it. Because you found your identity in Christ. John 8:23, Jesus said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world." He said, "I am not of this world." Do you say that about yourself as a Christian? Let me ask you that question. Do you actually say that about yourself? "I am not of this world." Jesus said that about us. So if we are going to agree with Jesus, we're going to have to say that I am not of this world. I belong to another world. I belong to the kingdom of God. I am not of this world. It's kind of interesting when you think about, are we going to get in line with what God says about us, or are we going to get in line with what the world is trying to tell us we are? There's a big difference. If we'll get in line with what God says about it, I think our vocabulary will change a lot when it comes to what we say about ourselves. Jesus also said in John 10:7, "Most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." That's one of the things that when we declare something and we begin to say something, we're going to have to be willing to back it up. give it everything we've got to back it up. We don't have to be perfect, but we just have to give it all. Jesus said, I am, in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He declared those things about himself. He knew who he was. He knew that he contained the resurrection of God residing on the inside of him. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Oh, wouldn't it be easier if Jesus hadn't said that? Wouldn't it be easier to relate to other faiths around the world if Jesus hadn't said that? Wouldn't it be easier to be able to get in a group of people who are of all mixed religions and not have to say that Jesus is the only way? I mean, that's what the pressure of the world is saying. Who are those Christians who think that they have the only way? Well, Jesus said it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except, no one comes to the Father except through me. He declared truth no matter how difficult it was, no matter what kind of a circumstance he was in, he declared truth. Jesus never said a negative word about himself. Can you find any place in the Gospels where Jesus ever said a negative word about himself? Who's our example? Jesus. We just said his name, sang his name over and over and over again. Jesus, Jesus. He is our example. Jesus never said a negative word about himself. Have you ever said a negative word about yourself? Say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me for speaking negatively about myself. We all have to repent of that. If Jesus is our example, he never spoke a negative word about himself. It's powerful when you think of that. I do that sometimes. I mess up, I make a mistake. Probably won't come out of my mouth, but I'll think, you're stupid. Whenever it comes through my thoughts, really, I usually won't say it. But even when I come to a thought, I stop it and I say, that's not the right thing to say. Because God doesn't look at me as stupid. God doesn't look at me in that fashion. So if God's not going to look at me in that fashion, why should I? He's the one that is truth, not me. So when something like that comes out, now, that doesn't mean that you don't have to change if you're doing something wrong. I mean, you want to have a good, positive confession about yourself, and you want to speak, but if you're mean all the time, you can't just go away and say, I'm a joyful person, and still be mean all the time. People love to be around me, and then, you know, you're just a meanie. Well, no, but can speak about yourself that I am a joy-filled person. People love to be around me, and so forth, while you're going through the process. While you're going through the process. And it's a whole lot more important to speak it to yourself than to somebody else. You know, people walking by faith get a bad name because they go blabbing to everybody else when they don't even believe themselves. Did you hear me? They go talking about that they think they have to say it to everybody else rather than speaking it to themselves. Now you see, as you speak positively of yourself the way Jesus did, you will find that you begin to change. You begin to change. You begin to believe your words that are coming out of your mouth. It is very important to believe the word of God. Not the most important word, or pardon me, the most effective word that will ever be a part of your life is the word of God that's coming out of your mouth. In other words, if you will speak the word of God, it will affect you. But if you speak negatively, it'll affect you as well. Only in a negative way, of course. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 56, we're going to read a few scriptures here, because he was put in a bind. And he said, talking to the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, he said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I used to read that years ago. I read that. Why did they get so mad? because he just said, before Abraham was, I am. It seemed that that just really sparked something in this ruling party. And the reason was because the way Jesus answered, he used a term that was used by God back when Moses was speaking with God. And when God told Moses, he said, when you go to the children of Israel and they ask who sent you, you say, I am sent you. I am that I am sent you. And Jesus used the same phrase, hooking him up with himself, up with God, declaring really that he was from the Father. And that's why they got so upset. That's why they wanted to stone him, because he was basically declaring that he was God. He made a declaration. He said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, it would have been a lot easier for Jesus just to kind of tone all that stuff down and begin dealing with his messiahship through the governing bodies of the Jewish religion. But he wanted to say something to get to the heart of individuals. He wanted to declare who he was so that they would be given a choice to either accept him or reject him. He would not bow. He would not say a negative thing about himself, no matter how much pressure the world put on him. I think we all can think of times when we wish we would have said something. We've been in a company of individuals who are talking in such a way that we didn't really speak up the way we should have about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we all can probably remember some times where this thing has happened. But yet here was Jesus right in the midst of the most pressure that could ever come against him. And think about it now. This ruling class, these Pharisees and Sadducees who were coming against Jesus, I'm certain all demonic forces from hell were active in that torment as well, in that coming against the Lord Jesus Christ, because they were trying to put him down. Because we know in some demon-possessed man, when Jesus was through his ministry and some people came to him, the demons would speak out and said, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And so the demonic forces knew who he was. So I'm sure there was a lot of demonic pressure. But yet he said, I am who I am. He spoke positively about himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. You see, that's one of the ways that you and I let the demonic forces know what we believe. It's what comes out of our mouths, what we say about ourselves. And if we say negative things about ourselves, that just gets the demonic happy, because they begin to say, okay, he already thinks that. Let's put more pressure on him, because he'll accept it. Let's convince him more. Let's tell him more lies about that. He's a dirtbag, and you know, we're just on and on and on. He already thinks it anyway, so let's just pile it on. And we begin to accept it and begin to feel that way. See, that's one of the reasons why the enemy would have us say is negative things about ourselves, because the more we say it, we begin to feel that. We begin to become a people who are depressed and oppressed and just feel that we are absolutely worthless and can't accomplish anything. Those are all lies from the devil. So the way we counter those lies is to speak positive things, to speak positive things, to speak positive things over and over and over and over again. Matthew 12, 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If all the words were gathered up about what we said about ourselves and was made into a coat, and we put it on, what would it look like? Would it be a coat of many colors like Joseph walked in? Or would it be a coat of rags? Dirty, filthy rags. If all the things were gathered up that we said about ourselves. Now here's another thing. If all the words you ever said about your children were ever gathered up and made into a coat, into a garment, and they walked around with that garment on them, would you be really proud to see them walk out wearing that coat? Or would you be, no, go and hide somewhere? By your words, you will be justified. By your word, you will be condemned. It doesn't matter what people have said about you in the past. If you will begin to speak positive things about yourself today and now, what God says about you, you will begin to be a different person. You will begin to be a person who looks upon the future with great light. You will be a person that begins to get filled with joy because of what God has said about you. If you will declare those things about you. Jesus continued to declare good things about him no matter what circumstance he was in. When Pilate was asking him who he was, he didn't deny it. He said, I am truly a king. You say rightly when you say that I am a king. The words that come out of our mouth will identify us, and it will identify us whether we are taking on the image of the Lord Jesus Christ or the image that the world is trying to put into us. You see, our actions speak louder than our words when it comes to the world. But our words will speak louder to us. It will actually shape us and identify us. The renowned artist Paul Gustave Dove lost his passport while traveling in Europe. When he came to a border crossing, he explained his predicament to one of the guards. Giving his name to the official, Dor hoped he would be recognized and allowed to pass. The guard, however, said that many people attempted to cross the border by claiming to be a person they were not. Dor insisted that he was the man he claimed to be. All right, said the official, we'll give you a test, and if you pass it, we'll allow you to go through. Handing him a pencil and a sheet of paper, he told the artist to sketch several peasants standing nearby. Dor did it so quickly and skillfully that the guard was convinced he was indeed who he claimed to be. His work confirmed his word. His work confirmed it. His work told the guard exactly who he was. You see, he proclaimed that he was somebody, but his work declared that he was somebody. And you and I, as Christians, need to look at becoming that kind of an individual. Not only do we declare it and declaim and proclaim it, but our work also identifies us with who we claim to be. And if we claim to be born again believers, children of the living God, then there are certain things that the world ought to see that they're able to say, that person has got to be a Christian. That person's got to be a believer in Christ. See, our work must confirm the words that comes out of our mouths. But we must know who we are. We must know. And we're going to be starting a series probably next week about identity, our true identity. We must have an identity. We must know who we are. I like this little story. The dilemma of an unclear sense of personal identity was as illustrated by an incident in the life of the famous German philosopher Friedrich Daniel Schleiermacher, who did much to shape the progress of modern thought. The story is told that one day, as an old man, he was sitting alone in a bench in a city park. Here's a philosopher who thought a lot about a lot of things. A policeman, thinking that he was a vagrant, came over and shook him and asked, who are you? Schleiermacher replied, sadly, I wish I knew. Here's this well-educated philosopher who thought a lot about life and had all kinds of theories and so forth, but he didn't know who he was. He said, sadly, I wish I knew. You see, your identity is not totally fulfilled in yourself. Your identity is only fulfilled in knowing who you belong to, who you came from and who you belong to, who you came from and who you belong to. I came from God. I belong to God. Not any particular race, not any particular religion. Doesn't matter what part of the world I came from. I belong to God. I find my identity in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the others, things that we gather together in the world, has to be laid down. So Some people said there are two kinds of people in the world, the Irish and those who wish they were Irish. Well, some people might find their identity in that, but they'll be sadly mistaken when it comes down to finding their identity. If you don't have your identity in Christ, you don't really know who you are. If you don't know where you've come from, you don't really know who you are. We're going to sing a song. This means war. You guys can come prepare. We're going to close down in a minute there. We're going to sing that, and I think it's very important because I want us to think about the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith, that statement indicates that there is a fight, that there is a war, and you and I are involved in a war. And sometimes we think of a war going out the battle with spears and or guns or all kinds of things, that we're in the battle in that way. But every battle must be fought in the area that the enemy is, an area that the enemy is trying to invade. And one of the things that the enemy tries to do when it comes to the church, it tries to steal its identity. Personal identity and corporate identity. And therefore, there must be a battle waged against the enemy that tries to steal our identity, tries to steal who we are, tries to keep us from saying, like Jesus, who we are. Jesus declared many times who he was, over and over and again. And the enemy will try to steal our voice in declaring who we are. He'll try to get us thinking thoughts, negative thoughts about our unsuccessful attempts to do something. Well, life didn't turn out the way I thought it would. He'll get us thinking about all that and trying to get us thinking about the future by what happened in the past. And that's where the war is waged. I've got a lousy marriage now, had a lousy marriage for the last 5 years, so I'm going to have a lousy marriage for the next 5 years to 20 years. Well, that's the lie of the devil. You can either choose to accept that or by faith begin to believe that things are going to change. I'm going to change. My spouse is going to change. Things are going to be different. I'm going to look to God to move on my life so things will be different. The future does not have to be dictated from the things that are happening in the past. But you'll have to get your speaking, your talking in line with what you see for the future. What you believe God has for you for the future. If you believe God has for you a happy life, a happy marriage, a happy family, if you believe God has designed you to be successful, has destined you to be successful, then you'll begin to talk like a successful person. What did Ali said? Said, I began to say I'm the greatest before I knew I was. Well, unless you're willing to do that, it'll never happen. Do you know that? It really won't. Unless you begin to speak your future, you'll never walk into the future that you want. Well, Pastor, I'm just taking up all the time because some of my kids are not even saved. Well, what are you saying about it? Are you getting all upset? Are you allowing the enemy to get you in a state of anxiousness and fret about that? Or are you believing the word of God that declares our descendants will live long upon the earth? Our descendants will be found in the house of the Lord. You are fighting the good fight of faith, not only for yourself, but for your family as well. Why don't you stand with me, please? As we sing this song, think about the fact that you are being a warrior and you are believing God that the battle, the victory is already won, but you must declare it. You must decree it. That's what you do when we talk about declarations and decrees. They're talking about the power of God and talking about what he's done. We're actually declaring victory. And you need to do that for yourself and your family. And as we worship God in this time, we'll bring our tithes and offerings up in this last song as well. And if you need prayer for anything, just stay up here and we'll pray with you as the Lord leads us in this. Now, Father, we thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We declare that we are children of God. We declare that we are people who are bought by the blood of the Lamb, We declare that we are part of His family. We are in covenant relationship with the Creator of the universe through the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare that we are privileged people this morning. And we praise You, Father, for Your grace and Your kindness upon us. Lord, and we refuse to bow to the lies of the enemy. We declare and decree that we are made victorious in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we live victorious because of what He has done for us. And we worship You and declare our victory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, this means war. This means war. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is not a fight where you're all ragged down and you're beaten up. It's a good fight. And so as we take our place and declare and decree the things that the Lord has said over us, it's actually a good fight. It's generally always a good fight when you know that you're a victor. You're already won. The price has already been paid. The battle has already taken place. You're just declaring and decreeing. You're declaring what belongs to You and that You want it now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank You for Your grace and Your blessing and Your anointing upon Your people. I declare that this people are anointed people of God. Lord, that they are people who believe Your word. They are people after Your heart, Lord, that they are the head and not the tail. They're above only and not beneath, that the favor of God is upon them, that they're blessed in the country, blessed in the city, blessed when they get up and blessed when they lie down. Everything they put their hand to prospers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a people who are above. They are a peculiar people, a holy people that You have drawn unto Yourself, Lord. I thank You, Father, for Your hand pulling them aside from the world and putting Your hand upon them, calling them to be separated from the world. We praise You and thank You, God, for the power of God to witness in this world, declaring that the kingdom of God has come. We bless You and praise You for that now in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll be back here tonight. Don't forget, we're going to be praying for the nation, very strategic time, and also praying for the sick as well. Have an awesome day.